Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." My subject today is praise first. You may be seated. This was panic time for Israel, because way back when Israel was coming out of Egypt and out of bondage and out of slavery, God gave them a promise, and that promise was that they were going to have their own land. It was going to be a land with grapes as big as cantaloupes. It was going to be a land of milk and honey, and they assumed that it would be without a fight, that there'd be no enemies there, and they learned that there were many enemies in Canaan land, but they had a great leader in the name of Joshua. And just about the time they got ready to possess the land, Joshua played a dirty trick on them. He died. And he left them without a leader. It was panic time in Israel. Let me tell you this. When God gives you a big promise, you can rest assured just before you possess that promise, there's going to be one final push from the adversary. And there's something you do in response. It was panic time for Israel. They're just about to inhabit Canaan land that God had promised them, which had great enemies, when their esteemed leader, Joshua, dies. They were fearful and confused. And so their request and their question to God, "Who shall go up and fight for us now? Who shall go up first?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." You know, sequence is almost important and vitally important in everything you do. When I receive something from China and I have to assemble it, it's not just putting it together. It's putting it together in the right sequence, making sure you get it in the right order. And praise is a wonderful, magnificent thing, but all the spiritual things that are significant have to be sequential. You have to get them in their proper sequence. You've got to praise before you fear. You've got to praise before flight. You've got to praise before you panic. Praise before you're paralyzed. Why is that meaningful to us when we talk about Judah? Because of what it represents. We know from Genesis chapter 29 that Leah, that was married, realized that her husband did not love her, even though she had had three sons for him. But before her fourth son was born, she made this declaration: "No matter what he does, I am going to praise the Lord." And so she named her son Judah. That's the reason why we know the significance of the tribe of Judah and the man Judah. At some point in your life, your relationship has got to be so poised and significant in your affection for God that you say, "Nobody, in this case, not even my husband, can kill my affection for God, because I love God above all." You can't love God second to your girlfriend. You can't love God second to your mama and your daddy. God has to be the number one thing in your life. And so she named him Judah and said, "Even if Jacob doesn't love me, this time I will praise the Lord." Genesis 29 and 35. When we consider the other references to the term and the name Judah, we learn that Judah, the same fourth son of Jacob, interceded on the behalf of his younger brother. He was on Judah's suggestion that they sell Joseph to the Ishmaelites when the rest of the brothers wanted to kill him. He preserved his life. Praise will preserve life when all around you everything is dying. And so when you talk about the tribe of Judah, it was the largest of the numbered tribes to emerge from Egyptian bondage. There's just something about praise that nothing else can embrace. The Bible teaches us that no matter what happens, Judah shall go up first. This was not a one-time occurrence in the Bible. It happened time and time again in the Old Testament. God ordained a plan that Judah lead in battle. When they went into battle and their enemies were numerous and strong, God would always send not the swords and not the shields and not the chariots, but he would send Judah the praisers first. When Israel asked counsel of God how to fight against the army of Benjamin, the army of Benjamin was 400,000, almost a 500,000 troops. And they came against Israel at a time when Israel had only 10,000 troops. And they said, God, what shall we do? How can we come against this? And God spoke to them, and he said, send the praisers. Send Judah in first. Judges 20 and 18 says it this way, and the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. And then this is what happened. And the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed of the Benjamites that day 25,100 men, all of these that drew the sword against them. Friend, I want to tell you that my God is able, no matter how big the odds are. You either believe that God is God or he's not God. He's not a secondary person in your life. He is the Almighty God. And so when we come against unbelievable odds, and you will in your life, you're just going to have people that have greater authority than you do that are against you. You're going to have numbers that are against you. You're going to have financial situations are against you. But can we really believe that praise is supernatural? That's what God is saying. No matter what the odds are, before you do anything else, God said, I want you to praise me. That would be an amazing thing in our life. When we got a telephone call that was bad news, we'd just hang up the phone and begin to praise God. When our boss gave us a report that we didn't want to give, we'd just find a place to praise God. When a family member did something or said something that we did not embrace, we would just give God praise first. Now, that's not our tendency. That's not what flesh wants to do. Flesh wants to have a calamity. Flesh wants to panic. Flesh wants to complain. Flesh wants to criticize. It's not natural, it's supernatural to say, wait just a minute. I'm going to put all of my human emotions on hold because first and foremost, I am a praiser. I'm going to give God some praise. We all enjoy praising God when we get a good report, but it's a difficult thing to praise God when you get a bad report. It's a difficult thing to praise God. Unlike when you're hired, you praise God. But when you're fired, do you praise God? And say, God is going to turn this thing. You see, praise is probably the greatest declaration that you can make in the sovereign power of Almighty God. You're saying, I don't care what it sounds like, and I don't care what it looks like, and I don't care what you think it is. I believe that my God is going to turn it around. That is never, ever going to let anything end in my defeat. Everything is going to be turned to my victory. I've had some tough times in my life, but I've learned if I can hold my peace and not say what I'm feeling, not say what my flesh is saying, but just begin to praise God. And that's the reason why you need to practice your praise. The Bible said rehearse the things that God has done. Learn, you say, but that's not my personality. Your personality might not be a positive personality. It might not be a victorious personality. You need to circumvent your personality. Some of you need to get a personality bypass. It's not your normal personality. Well, my people are just not that way. My people are just quiet and reserved. But praise God, you've been born again. You've got a new DNA now. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I know you might not want to practice it right here in the front row in front of Sister Dean, but when you find that there are some things going wrong in your life, you need to get you a private practice room where there's nobody around and just learn what it is to say, thank you, Lord. I don't care what happened. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe that God's going to turn this around. I believe what the devil means for evil, the Lord is going to turn to good. It's the most difficult thing in the world to express joy when you're feeling miserable, to express happiness when you're feeling sad, to give God glory when you see nothing but defeat. But I can promise you, it is a supernatural remedy to a natural problem. Learn to praise God in the good times and in the bad. No matter what's going on, I'm going to give God praise. You know, you can judge so many people's lives by the way they attend church. When things are going really well, they'll come to the house of God. But if things really happen bad, they'll stay at home. Then there's the reverse people. They only come to the house of God when they need help. If things are going well, they stay away. But there's another group of us right in the middle, in good times or bad times. Praise God, if you win the lottery, you're going to show up. If you get fired, you're going to show up. If somebody's mean to you, you're going to show up. If somebody's good to you, you're going to show up. If you have your health, you're going to show up. If you're not feeling well, you're going to show up. Well, that carries over into our praise. You can judge other people by where they sit in the church. The better they're feeling, the closer they sit to the front. If they're not feeling good, they begin to sit toward the back. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to get control of your emotions. And He wants to get you where you are a constant person for God, a constant attendee in the house of God, a constant praiser in the house of God. And so when you realize that you're about to receive your miracle, just like Israel, we're about to go into the promised land, we're about to possess Canaan, all of a sudden the enemies jump up and Joshua dies. What are you going to do? God said, let Judah go in first. Let the praisers go in first. There's somebody in this building right now that you've been working on a project. There's something in your life that's been about to develop for a long time. And all of a sudden, something has happened that is about to derail what you thought was going to be a great blessing in your life. And the devil is trying to depress you and get you to be despondent. What you need to do on this very day is say, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it seems like. I know what God said. And I'm a praiser, so I'm going to praise God first. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to whine. I'm not going to flight. I'm not going to backtrack. I'm going to give God some praise today. And friend, I can tell you that praise is absolutely supernatural. Absolutely supernatural. You know, we've had many millions of dollars to build this church and keep it open over the years, and sometimes it becomes a real battle. The devil really tries to make that the number one enemy in our life and my life and this church's life. But I've learned that no matter what it looks like on the spreadsheet, if I'll give God the praise, God will turn it around every time. I have to rehearse many times to you, but it meant so much to me. When I was so desperate for a financial blessing when we were trying to build the church next door, our first building program, and it finally shut down. We didn't drive a nail for a few months. We just didn't have any money to pay a man with a hammer. But praise God, I just kept preaching the gospel. I kept believing God. And I told you how I was on that elevator on Fredericksburg Road, went to the 12th story of that building to do my little radio broadcast. And when I came back down, it was noontime. Nobody was on the elevator. It was about like our elevator here at church. It was real slow. And I was on the 12th floor, and I got on that elevator, and I was really being despondent in my flesh, but I just began to praise God. It's always easier to praise God with your eyes closed. That way you can see the things of God. You can shout out the thing. I had my eyes closed. I was praising God. I was magnifying the Lord. I was speaking in tongues, and I didn't know that that slow elevator had made its little trip down to the bottom floor, and it was just about 1 o'clock, a little afternoon, and people were coming back from lunch, and when the doors opened, that lobby was full of people, but I had my eyes closed, and I was just praising God and speaking in tongues, and when I opened my eyes and looked out those doors, there was about 100 people looking back at me, and not one of them was saying one word. I mean, they were as silent as the tomb. They'd never seen anybody praise God like that. You know, sometimes the secular world, and particularly the devil and the enemy, needs to see you praise God. All of your praise can't be in the sanctuary. Some of it needs to be out there, according to the 149th Psalm. Some of it needs to be in your bedroom, your kitchen, your car, your office building. It needs to be on a street corner in downtown San Antonio. All times I'll praise God. Everywhere I'll give God praise. And so I walked through that group of people just like the Red Sea splitting. They just gave me a wide berth, and I walked through, and people just looked at me. And at that point in time, I realized I was already exposed. They knew who I was. There wasn't no need of trying to camouflage it. You know, I can clean up pretty good and put on a suit, and people think that I'm a normal human being. And I meet a lot of people, and they're so nice, and they say, "What are you doing?" I say, "I'm a preacher." And they say, "What kind of a preacher?" I say, "One of those Holy Ghost-filled preachers." Their attitude changes immediately. They thought I was going to say I was a teacher or I was this or that. When they find out I'm a Holy Ghost preacher, it puts us in two different classes. They no longer feel like we're on the same level. Well, friend, we're not. I'm a whole lot higher than they are because I'm in the presence of Almighty God. They knew who I was, and so I just kept praising God all the way through that lobby, all out in that door. Praise God, got in my car, drove down Fredericksburg Road, stopped at Citizens Frost Bank, walked into that bank, a bank I'd never been, didn't have an account at, didn't know anybody, little packet, laid it down on a woman's desk and said, "Ma'am, I need $1 million. She was smoking a cigarette. Back in those days, they smoked everywhere. She was smoking a cigarette. She thumbed through there a little while. She didn't look at it very good. And finally, she said these words, and I never forgot them. She said, "Steve, I like you. Oh, it's so good when God gives you favor." And praise to God will give you favor that you need with man. It might not be forever, but you don't need it forever. You just need it when you need it. She said, "Steve, I like you." And she said, "It's going to take me about 2 weeks to get you $1 million. Friend, that was some of the best words I'd ever heard in my life at that time. I'm going to tell you, there's some praisers in this house today that have gone above and beyond, and you have put God first. You're a Judah person no matter what happens. You've come to this church through hell and high water. You've come to this place through thick and thin. You've kept your face toward the Lord even though people have turned against you. You've praised God when the devil has attacked you. I want to tell you, payday's coming. I want to tell you, Canaan land is going to be yours. I'm going to tell you, the enemies are going to fall at your feet. I'm going to tell you that God is on your side. Don't stop now. What you've done has been good, but praise God, you're about to see the payday of what God has promised you. You're about to inherit the land. I urge you just to turn your praise up a little louder. Just praise a little longer. Just praise a little wilder, because you are Judah, and praise God, you need to glorify and magnify the Lord with everything that is in you, because God is going to give you favor with a doctor, favor with a lawyer, favor with a boss, favor with a banker, favor with a family member, favor with an enemy. God's going to turn around, but first you've got to praise God. Praise God with everything that's in you. Praise God all the time. Don't waver. Don't stop. Don't slow down. Don't quit. You know how to praise God. You know how to applaud God. You know how to give God your tears. You know how to give the Lord a shout. You know how to sing. You know how to dance. You know how to praise God. Oh, I'm going to tell you, praise first. Praise first. What shall we do? And God said, send Judah first. He said it over and over and over again in the Bible, and it's true today. What am I going to do? How many times have you asked yourself that question when you had three little children and the bum walked out? What am I going to do? Judah first. Praise first. Praise first. When you needed it so bad and the job dried up, Judah first. Praise first. The doctor gave you a bad report. What am I going to do? Judah first. Judah first. Praise first. Somebody in this building right now is going through the greatest attack of your life because you're the closest you've ever been to the biggest breakthrough in your life. You need to get out of your pew and get in this aisle and begin to praise and glorify God on a Sunday morning and come to this altar and say, "Thank God, this is what I do. This is what I do. I praise first. I praise first. I've got the sequence right. I give God the praise and the glory in Jesus' name." Hallelujah. There's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, and you say, "I don't know how to find him." just come and begin to praise him. Say, Jesus, thank you. I love you. And Jesus will take you in and become the Lord of your life and come into your heart. If you're facing a problem today, maybe you don't have any money. What can I do? Praise first. You say, I've got a pain in my body. What do I do? Praise first. Praise first. You know, I read about the woman with the issue of blood. And in fact, I wrote a whole sermon and I was going to preach today, and then I decided not to. But God was her, Jesus was her last resort. That's okay for people that don't know any better. But for you and me, Jesus ought to be our first source. Our first source. We ought to praise God first. Before we call the doctor, call on Jesus. And then go let the doctor verify what God's going to do in your life. Before you call your banker, call Jesus first. Before you call your mama or your daddy. That's what it means when it tells us he'll be our father and he'll be our mother. He'll be our counselor. He's not saying we got to kick our mama and our daddy out. He just said, I'll be your big daddy. I'll be your big mama. I'll be your big banker. I'll be your big lawyer if you'll give me praise first. Hallelujah. All over this building, let's take just a praise break right now. Let's just take a praise break. Wherever you are, just give God some praise. Just give God some praise. Somebody give God some crazy praise. Somebody give God some crazy praise. Somebody give God some crazy praise. Somebody get loose in the Lord. The devil is looking at you right now. Let him know what you think about Jesus. Let the devil see you praising God. The devil is afraid of no man, except he is afraid of a blood-washed, praising saint of God. The devil will flee from you if you'll begin to praise God like God wants you to. In the name of Jesus. Is there anybody in this house that needs to give Jesus the first place in your life? You need to get saved today. Would you come to this altar? Anybody that's never been baptized in water, we keep our baptismal ready. We'll baptize you right now. Someone that has never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life.